for an evening filled with paranormal, special guests, interviews, haunting stories, creatures of the unknown, and tales that will chill you to the bone. Brought to you by the UPRN Network and Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. Take a walk into the night with Sean Kelly.
Good evening, everybody. This is Sean Kelly, Into the Night. Just want to wish everybody happy holidays. As you can see, I'm Santa tonight, you know, and that's why I've been growing this beard. I've been growing this beard to make myself look like Santa Claus. But, you know, I just keep it at this distance because I hate it when it goes out like that. But I just want to tell everybody that you got the mental illness, like I have mental illness, you know, I'm with you. And I do pray for you, and I do hope for recovery. Now, this is, like I said last week, this is a really, really bad time of the year for people who have mental illness because of the holidays, of the depressions, you know, and call a friend, you know, go call a friend, talk to somebody. It's okay to talk because whatever you share to that person, I'm sure they're going to listen and give you a hug. And we did talk about that last show. I'm in a holly jolly mood tonight. So I got my friend Trish Mo on me, who is a co-host of our show, Chasing Prophecy. Good evening, Trish. How are you?
Good evening. I'm good.
Good. What'd you think of our last show on Chasing Prophecy?
I thought it was amazing. I was really looking forward to that, obviously, because people like those guys have no idea how much impact they have on other people in the world. And it's the same with you, Sean. It's the same with, you know, sometimes I have friends that are readers that have just little YouTube channels or podcasts or whatever that I watch, and people never know how much effect they have, even if it's only reaching one person, you know,
right.
It could save someone's life for that matter. It could change their life. So it's never, you know, as they say, which is funny because it's called the seeding they were talking about.
Yeah.
Tell people around me, you know, one acorn can seed an entire forest. So
yeah, that's true.
Spread the knowledge, you know.
I just want to say good evening, Sean G. How are you today? And happy holidays. And 3RK Cart Doctor. I know who that is. That's my boy. That's Augie. But, you know, when we were talking about in our first hour of the show last night, we were talking about Yule. Okay. And could you bring that up again? Because it was really, really, I know we didn't have enough time to discuss about it, but, you know, what is Yule?
Yeah, Yule in Nordic tradition is the changing of the seasons. Again, it's another solstice, the winter solstice, but it's a changing from the dark months of the year, surrendering to the light months of the year. So this time of year specifically, aside from being cold and, you know, a lot of people get the winter blues and, you know, depression and stuff, just not only is there not as much to do because we can't get outside as much, we can't, you know, a lot of people weather-wise can't see each other, but it's a time of year for reflection. That's for inner work, for the shadow side, you know, in pagan beliefs, that's what we focus on this time of year. And a lot of people are scared of that and it is scary and it is tough. It's like tower moments in tarot. You know, a lot of people are scared of that. I've learned to embrace that because anytime you do that, you release those things.
Right.
You release things. It helps you grow, and you don't have to go back and work through that again. You don't have to repeat that cycle. So the dark parts of the year is a literal battle. And there's the 12 days of Yule. And on December 21st, that's when it was a battle between the Holly King, which was the Dark King, and the Oak King, which represented the coming of spring, and the Light King. And so it's a battle of the Holly King surrendering his crown, or his throne, I guess, okay, to the Oak King. So surrendering the darkness, surrendering to the light. But then, of course, it flips back. You know, there's always balance. That's why there's the seasons. So
true. I can understand that. Now, is that just from mythology, or was there actually a war, or was it a story that was told long
ago? It was a story that was told long ago. It's both. It's both mythology and which can be related to almost any religion. You know, it's the duality. It's the good and evil parts of ourselves, the good and evil in nature, the good and evil, you know, the colder part of the year. You see this, and it's even depicted. They celebrate Yule, which I didn't realize, because most Disney movies are more, I guess there's a pretty good variety of different cultures and holidays and stuff. But mm-hmm. in the movie Frozen, they celebrate Yule, which is interesting because, you know, she's the ice queen and she has to kind of get through all of her family trauma and things, losing her parents and the whole abandonment thing before the ice melts in the spring. So it's kind of the same thing, you know. I related Yule and the story of the Holly and the Oak King to Elsa and her sister.
isn't it amazing how you can sit there and watch a Disney movie or any kind of movie, or listening to a song, or yeah. reading a little paragraph of something, and how you can relate to that?
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And I think, you know, I've gone back to the basics now that I'm older in life, and kind of I live a much simpler life. And we're so often we try to dissect things and deep dive into figuring out this hidden knowledge, when actually it's very simple. Everything is very, I mean, I learn something new every day, but it's because I go back to, I'll be listening to something my kids watching on TV and get this epiphany, like, wow, I never thought of it that way. Or I go back to The Little Mermaid, who mm-hmm. was my idol when I was little, because she was the only other redhead. I used to get teased all the time because I was a redhead. And here she was, this beautiful mermaid that finally gets her voice, you know, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the story with everyone. We find our voice.
I'd like to share the story with you and my listeners. I got sober back in 1991, and my son was 4 months old. Okay. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm coming up on 31 years. So I'm proud of myself for that. But when he was like maybe 14, 15 months old, right? He was walking. He loved the movie The Wizard of Oz. Okay. Yep. Now, I had to watch it 6 times with him because that's all he wanted to watch. He didn't want to watch Barney. He didn't want to watch any of them. He went and watched The Wizard of Oz. But it was funny, every time the monkeys came, he had to run into the other room, you know. But a little, and then I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, holy crap, this is my recovery life, right? Now think about this now. I'll try to make us understand it, right? So there's Dorothy, right? And she's like, went through a hurricane or a tornado, whatever you want. Tornado, yeah. With her dog Toto. Okay. Yep. I'm Dorothy. Okay. And I land in Oz. Yeah. Right. So in order for me to get back home, I had to follow the yellow brick road. Okay. To me, the way I looked at the yellow brick road was the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. So the wicked witch, she said, all right, just follow this, you'll go home. So as I'm walking this road, doing the steps, all of a sudden I come across a scarecrow, right? You know, and what did the scarecrow want? He wanted a brain.
Yeah.
And I look back at it and I'm thinking, hey, I didn't have a brain.
when I drank and when I did, when I drank and when I did drugs and when I gambled and stuff like that. And so I snatch him along, you know, hopefully get him a brain, you know, so we're walking. And then all of a sudden we come to the Tin Man. And what did the Tin Man want? He wanted a heart. I didn't have a heart. In fact, I'm telling you what, I was the meanest son of a bitch he ever wanted to meet, especially if I was drunk. You know, I was terrible. I was a bad person. And I'll continue that real quick. And as we're walking around, we come to the lion. And what did the lion want? Courage.
Courage.
And the only courage I had was alcoholism, drinking courage, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and as we're all walking the Olympic Road, of course, you got the Wicked Witch of the East going after you with the monkeys, right? And to me, that represented the alcohol, the drugs, the gambling, okay? Doing everything it can for not letting me go home. Until eventually...
And escape get the vice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we finally get up to see the wizard, you know, who I call God. Okay. And I made it. I made it through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I got goosebumps, man. I got chills on that really bad. But it's been a long time since I, you know, realized the story. And I needed to share that with you. And I needed to share that with people. So
thank you. And mm-hmm. it's interesting, you know, because I am in Kansas. So I'm in the land of Oz. And so when I was younger, you know, in my early 20s, when I had moved back here again, I lived in Japan a while and then I came back to Kansas. And when I came back here, same thing, you know, I was a college student, I was drinking, things like that. So when I left again, I thought I really related it to that movie, much like you did, because I was like, okay, mm-hmm. well, I stopped drinking, didn't do drugs, didn't, you know, no gambling, none of this. So when I moved back here the second time from New York, you know, we don't often learn our lessons, obviously, or maybe they just get harder. Right. And they humble us more. So when I moved back here, I realized that I had to learn all of those lessons over again, actually multiple times. Not that I started drinking again or doing drugs or anything like that, but even addictions are addictions, vices are vices, escapes are escapes. You can, I don't care if you are addicted to Grey's Anatomy or right. chocolate, like sugar or
right.
caffeine, energy drinks, whatever. Just because it's not as bad as drugs or alcohol doesn't mean it's not an addiction. It's still
right.
an addiction. It can still mm-hmm. kill you. It's still a vice. It's still mm-hmm.
Oh, people. Exactly.
It could be places. It could be going back to, you know, places you're not appreciated, that job you hate. That those are all things that movie very much depicted in everyone's life. And when she comes back and she says, you know, to her uncle and her family, and she's like, and you were there and you were there and you were there. Well, that's like everywhere in our life. We yeah. always have these people there. Mm-hmm. You know, resources all around us. Ask your friends for help. You know,
right.
They're always there. We just fail to notice them as they are. You know, we fail to notice those lessons.
And it's a lot about their egos too. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? And that was my biggest part at the beginning of sobriety. I had an ego, right? I just didn't
Everybody
want.
Everybody has an ego.
Yeah, I mean, mine was bad. But you know what? I wanted the recovery. You know, and so instead of I played with a couple sponsors that I had who let me do whatever I wanted, and I found out I wasn't getting sober.
Yeah.
And then I found me a hardcore one.
And that's like the good witch, you know, I consider that, because everybody's always afraid of the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think back in your life about those hard coaches you had back in the day, and, you know, we always talk about kids nowadays and how they don't have it rough, but they're also not learning.
Right.
They graduate high school, they're not competitive. They're not, you know, they keep their ego at a much higher level for much longer because they don't have, it was the strictest teachers, the strictest coaches
yes.
actually made me work. That made me run and punish me if I stayed out late drinking the night before. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I used to have such a resentment towards my dad for the longest time because he was so strict with a lot of things. You know, I started working when I was 14 years old, and he said, you're going to, you know, learn how to earn your own money and make your own way in life and all this. But now in hindsight, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those lessons. I'm thankful for those people that were harder on me, just like your coaches, you know. You don't learn from the easy ones.
No, you don't. I mean, and then when it was my turn to start, you know, coaching or sponsoring other people, you know, I showed them what was shown to me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, two of them died. You know, and that's another thing about, you know, being in recovery is that I've been to a lot of funerals, you know what I mean? And then I walk up to the casket and I say my prayer, and then I say, but for the grace of God, there goes I, you know what I mean? So it's like, so in a way it was joyous, in a way it wasn't. Trust me, I and then that's where my mental illness comes into. Because I figured out eventually that with all the alcohol that I drank at one time, I mean, I drank for a long time. In fact, it was embedded into me because I'm Irish, you know what I mean?
Me too.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it just feels like that my brain isn't working right. You know what I mean? It's just like they call it water on the brain, just a tad, something like that. But you know what? I'm okay with it. But here's a funny story behind it all. My son's 31, and he has never, ever, ever seen me take a drink. Okay, and he was 4 months old when I got sober, so I keep telling him that he's older than me because it was like a rebirth. But I remember his 21st birthday. He was so afraid to tell me where he went drinking, and he was so afraid to tell me, you know, because. And because he's afraid that I'll go back to it. And you know what? I can understand that.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, so what I mean? Easy to relapse into yeah. anybody that says, no, I'm above that now. I'll never go back to gambling, drink, whatever it is. You know, you know how many times I've said I will stop eating sugar? I don't know.
Many? Many. I don't know.
Thousands, but that's what I'm saying. Even something as little as that, which could kill me because I'm hypoglycemic, right. is an addiction. It's all the same, you know, and it comes down to self-discipline, which is very hard to conquer.
Of course. For me, it was really, really hard. But like about maybe a year in, you know, then I started to let people in. And I started to ask them for help.
And that's a hard thing too.
Yes, it was. And it was scary because they were helping me. You know what I mean? And
yeah, it's crazy when you get what you ask for.
It's not that I'm getting my RV. 6 more years I retire, I'm getting my RV. I'll be heading out to Kansas and we're going to go investigate.
That's investigate, yep.
But back to the Yule. Now, I know my witchy friends, right? They have Yule logs. What's the history behind the Yule log?
Well, Yule logs, along with, there's trees and Yule logs in general, you know, that's another pagan origination.
Hi, Spider-Man. Go ahead.
Bringing a tree, a Christmas tree in. So originally, you know, and especially when speaking of forest elements and things like that, the trees were brought in so the forest spirits would have a warm place to stay in the winter. Plus, pine is a protective protective plant. I was going to say plant tree, protective tree.
Comes up with the arms and surrounds you with love.
Yes. And so not only that, it also, you know, it's good for They made teas and soups, and it's good to breathe. It helps your respiratory system in the wintertime, which obviously is a problem for a lot of people in the colder months. But I just recently learned also that tinsel came from when a lot of people would bring trees in their house and there would be spiders, you know, they would still be on
the tree
to find a warm place. Well, when Santa, or, you know, Kris Kringle, Santa Claus, whatever you want to call him, when he saw that, he and the spider the next day spun webs all over the tree. Mm-hmm. And he knew that the people would try to destroy its webs and destroy its home and wouldn't let it stay there. So he made them sparkle and it looked like tinsel.
Is that really? That's cool. Because yes. I was talking to my mother the other day about that. And I was like, you know, because we have our Christmas tree up. And she has all these ornaments collected from all over the years. And it's a pretty tree. But I remember when I was young, I saw all that tinsel all over the freaking place. You know what I mean? Got caught in the sweeper and was all over here.
Oh yeah.
And I never knew about tinsel until right now.
Came from the spiders left over from, you know, harvest and Halloween and all those times. I don't kill spiders. You know, they're a good omen.
I love spiders. I really do. I love spiders. I mean, a lot of people don't. I can't understand the fear of it, but I love spiders. I mean, I think they're neat. If I see them on the walls, especially in the wintertime, I'm thinking, okay, you just want to be warm, you know? Yeah. So I'm offering that to where my mother, on the other hand, she's not quite like that, you know?
And here's the thing, you know, with any, I have had this battle with this fall. I had this battle with this mouse in my house for a very long time, and it ended up taking me on this entire journey of a story, which I am going to document on my blog and stuff. But I realized that throughout history, you know, we encounter spirit animals and stuff all the time in our path. We don't really ever pay attention to what they symbolize or their meaning or anything. And often, even in paranormal situations, you know, most people realize that an infestation of flies, roaches, hornets. I've had like experiences with. There was one house I lived in. This has happened actually in three different houses, where it would be something crazy. Like one house, my washer and dryer was in the basement. And I went down there. This was the middle of winter, and obviously I had been using my washing machine because I had stuff in the dryer. So, but it was empty at the time. I opened my washing machine, and hornets flew out.
Oh, wow.
Now, obviously, that's, to me, I'm like, oh, that's demonic.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's a sure sign right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, and the same with many times with anything. There was just literally something just flew by my chair right now.
You know what? Before you go on, I have to tell you, last show, I saw a black mist come up in front of you. It was crazy.
Oh, it happened numerous times during that show. I was like, oh, here we go. My light was flickering.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as, it's because I'm talking about demons and you just gotta know how to tame them.
Yeah, you did.
But so I realized, you know, and I had this sign by my door one time that said, pay attention to the little things. And I realized that even, you know, I have this deck. Where is it? I just rearranged everything, so I don't know. It was my cryptids bestiary oracle card.
Oh, wow.
Deck. Wow. It's beautiful drawings and illustrations on it. And there is one for a spider. There's one for a mouse. Mm-hmm. And it teaches you that, you know, a lot of times these things come into our homes to, it's kind of like cats and witches and familiars and stuff, you know, they're there to help us. They're there to guide us. They are there to, a lot of times, assist us in getting rid of negative energy or spirits from our homes or environment or whatever. So it's the same thing with, you know, there's, I've heard of so many people say in their business, even in their house, and their, if it's haunted, especially things like that, that they do everything they can. They have hire exterminators, they're clean people. None of that matters.
Right.
Because exactly. A lot of times those things, it's not the roach or the mouse or the spider or whatever in itself that is dangerous and harmful. I mean, yeah, they carry disease. Some can, but I don't mean in that manner. I mean, they're there. They actually help absorb a lot of the negativity. They're there trying to help get rid of those negative spirits or that negative energy or whatever.
Right. So, that's just like, what are they called? Where they hang in there, like a weave, like a dream catcher.
Yeah,
same thing,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But if I'm not mistaken, I do believe that, like, I read the animal totem cards. And I like the mouse because the mouse scrutinizes everything. Okay. Yeah. And it actually makes a mountain out of a molehill.
Absolutely.
So whenever I see a mouse, I'm scrutinizing stuff, and I don't need to do that because it gives me some heart tepulations or whatever you want to call. And with the spider is, if I'm not mistaken, it's weaving. It's weaving your life into however it is supposed to be. But that was the hardest thing for me to do, especially when I got into reading cards. Okay. I started out where reading tarot. Okay. And for me, I really, really didn't feel comfortable reading tarot. Just because I got so confused over the definitions of each card. So eventually I threw the definitions out and I just started whatever card I threw down.
Yep.
That's what I picked
whatever
up.
Whatever comes to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get hung up on that. You know, they're so worried about what the literal meaning means of animals or tarot or anything in life. And it doesn't matter what it means by the book.
Right.
It matters what it means to you. It matters how you interpret it.
Oh yeah.
So,
but you know, it's crazy when I did. In fact, I got to come up with a an ad here for my friend. Okay, so give me a second. All right. I got my friend Deborah Ann. She holds a psychic fair every month, and so I'm just giving her a free shout out tonight. Hey, Sean. Well, that's not that one. She is holding a mystical psychic Christmas present fair giveaway this Sunday, December 12th from 11 to 4 at West Meeting Center, 1204 Fish Street, West Elizabeth, PA, 15088. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen out there, she gets the most nicest psychics in the world, and they're very, very good at what they do. And so if you're not doing nothing, come on from Kansas over and get your Christmas present from one of the psychic ladies. But there you go, Deb. You know, I hope you get a lot of people there, you know. But back to her, I read at one of her fairs, okay. And I brought up my animal, and it was like a long time while I did it. And as I was doing reading, I just laid out five cards. I have them shuffle, cut the deck, and then I'd have them turn over a card. And believe it or not, it was really, really crazy. It wasn't because the wolf is like family or the deer and blah, blah, blah. What I picked up was a situation that was going on in their life that day. And, you know, and it was like, all my readings are like that. Sometimes I tell them, I'm like, you know what? I don't predict the future for you. You know, I ain't going to tell you, but all my readings are happening in your life. And this is the cards, how you do it. So, plus I think that whenever I do readings, people feel a little bit more comfortable because they're animal cards. You know what I mean? They're not the Tower. They're not the Joker. They're not the Will and all that stuff. So I just wanted to share that with you. Do you do fairs?
Do I do fairs?
Yes. Do you?
No. No. And I've never, so I kind of got, before I kind of came out of the witch's closet, you know,
The witch. Did you bring your broom?
A lot of my friends throughout my life, my family, things like that, have always known, people close to me knew that I was clairvoyant, clairaudient, things like that. And so to me, tarot and things like that have always just been, it's a good starting point, tarot is, and scribing and automatic writing and all of those things, pendulums, because you really kind of learn how to train better, have better control of and more understanding of your intuition, your readings and stuff. And they're absolutely wonderful, like you were saying, at fairs and things like that, to do readings on people for their current situations or things like that, or also for the collective. They're a great tool for the collective when you're reading, you know, zodiac signs and things.
Right.
But as far as in my own life, you know, so many people kind of started using me for that, you know, friends and things. And it was like they became addicted to that.
Not paying you money, but paying other psychics money in order to.
I've never been paid for any of my gifts, but as far as that goes, but just, you know, every time I was around people, it got to be where they weren't seeing me just to spend time with me or whatever. They just
know
what I could tell them about their life or what I could, you know, how I could read into. So I absolutely, like, I kind of block that out where I don't read into anyone close to me's lives anymore. I purposely don't, because I don't want to know. It's not, life is meant to be lived. You know, I don't want to know what's going to happen all the time.
Exactly.
It's boring. It becomes, you become numb to life.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah. I mean, and for some reason, you know, and when I tell you this, I tell you this out of pure humility, okay, humbleness, that whenever I go get a reading, they give me my money back because they can't read me. You know what I mean? So is it like, am I protecting myself, or is there that, or a spiritual thing happening to
her? I think most, you know, most intuitive people and stuff kind of naturally protect ourselves because we become so accustomed to that, especially if you're empathic. You kind of naturally have to do that so it doesn't kill you, you know?
But it's so hard. Honest to God, it is so hard for me because there are times, I think I discussed this with you or on the show, or maybe I didn't. There are times I want to be normal.
Oh, yeah. I mean? Yeah. You can't go back.
You can't
go back.
I want to be normal, and I just want to be normal, and I can't do it no more. And for the longest time, I didn't fight with me. I fought with the big guy upstairs, you know. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And eventually one night, what happened was I finally had a date. I told her straight out, no ghosts. I don't want to hear about no ghosts. I just want to get to know you, like a human being. And all of a sudden, she got a text. She had to go. And I looked up in the air and I'm like, come on. What's going on? And I was just like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And I said that for a couple hours, even on the way home from the restaurant. And so come midnight, I get a phone call from a client telling me she's got more ghosts in her house, right? Okay, blah, blah, blah. 12:30, another phone call. 1 o'clock, another phone call. 1:30. And I said, okay, so I know what my purpose is. But there's many times that, you know, I see normal people sitting, not having dinner at a bar, you know, at a restaurant, or, you know, seeing my son just doing what he does. And I'm thinking, God, I want that someday. You know what I mean? When I really am interested into a girl, you know, I try to turn it off. You know what I mean? I try to turn it off, but it just doesn't happen. But I don't know. How about you in your situations at the beginnings? Was it hard for you to like go on a date or something like that?
Oh my gosh, it's hard now. Shoot. I could probably tell you, you know, and I get so the guy I'm dating now is so understanding and so good about being patient with me as far as, you know, when there's ghosts around or when there's, you know, some synchronicities or when I all of a sudden, you know, see people dying or car accidents, things like that before they happen. And it's a very hard balance because in my life, like my world, I think last week, the shaman we had on Chasing Prophecies, he explained it well. There's, you know, there's, our world is very crowded, even if you can't see everything that's around you. It's not right. Like ghosts are just in haunted houses or ghosts are just out at night. No. Mm-hmm. To people like me, if you watch the show, oh man, what's the one with Trisha Arquette? Which is funny that she's got the same name.
I don't know. I don't watch TV that much, huh?
I only know this. I watched one episode. My mom told me I should watch it a long time ago. She's a medium, but she becomes, she starts helping the police department as an
investigator. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen one. I know what you're talking about.
So shows like that and like Ghost Whisperer, you know, where she wakes up and there's all the ghosts standing around her bed, all talking to her at once. Mm-hmm. That's how it is all the time for me. And it's not something I can shut. I mean, yes, once in a great while, if depends on what I'm doing. If, you know, I use art, I use music, I use things like that. I paint a lot. I do photography, you know, things like that are very therapeutic for me. Nature, grounding. That doesn't mean it goes away, but it's more, it takes my, it's a distraction almost. So, so yes, it is very hard with friendships, with men, with, you know, I think him and I are finding a balance finally of where I try to shut it off more often, in my downtime, because it's like a full-time job, 24/7, you know, that you don't want to take home with you. It's kind of like you don't allow ghosts in your bedroom, you know, because that's
no, I don't. That's my ghost-free zone.
and that's the thing. But here's the thing, much like people or animals or anything else in the world, the weather, spirits, aliens, all of that aren't predictable. You know, they come when I'm not living on their terms.
Right.
You know, they're living on mine. So it takes a while to, I'm still struggling with it, to flip that script. You know, okay. I'm still trying to figure out a way to have them live on my terms. You know what I mean? So
I tell you what, to be honest with you, it took me a long time. I remember the wolf pup I got when I went and saw Mother, you know, Mother Earth. I saw her in the core of the earth. That's for another day. That's a long story. But I remember when I was gifted Lakota, who is my animal totem. He's my guide. He's my protector. And I remember at the beginning, man, him and I would fight. Okay. And what I mean was he tried to take control of me. you know, and, you know, one time we really duked it out and I had to say, nah, it's not going to work like that. But I do understand what you're talking about on that one. And then I have my spirit guides that are helping. I got my angels. I got one guardian archangel in Uriel. I don't know if you ever heard of Uriel, Uriel. That's my archangel. That's my angel that protects me all the time. And I mean, when I'm doing something stupid, he'll show his presence. You know what I mean? He will, you know, say, "I'm here. You're doing something stupid. Back off." You know what I mean? And at first, when I started learning this or experiencing it, I was so confused. I was so confused because, like I told you before, sweetie, I was a bad person, a really, really bad person. And then all of a sudden, it's like I'm given these gifts to help people, to heal people. Not so much by hands or nothing like that. It's just what we talked about, you know, what that one guy, John, said last at the last show. He goes, if you can sit in a room and let somebody tell them their story, and all you're there to do is listen and give them a hug afterwards, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at today.
I think of it as, you know, especially I don't think anyone is 100% good or innocent or any of right. that, because we wouldn't learn otherwise, you know what I mean? Like there wouldn't be, we wouldn't evolve as people. And so when I think about it in that way, in any religion, and like we're talking about with Disney movies, you know, all of us have been a villain in someone's story.
Right.
All of us have been, you know, people get so hung up on empaths or narcissists or this or that. We've all been a narcissist to someone. We've all been, you know, so because the thing, especially with trauma and learned behaviors, we pick up on those traits, you know, right. kids pick up on those traits from their parents, from their fellow students, from their teachers, whatever, you know, from TV for that matter, mm-hmm. from the internet. So I don't think it's about, you know, good or bad or whatever, but it's what you, that's where I actually came up with my business and the name of my, you know, what's going to be my podcast and blog and stuff. Savage Roots was, we all have, you have to get to the root of the problem, you know,
right.
we all have, and it's generational. It follows your DNA. It follows diseases, things like that. Follow your ancestry. And some of us, especially spirit guides and ancestors and stuff, some of them are really strict.
Yeah, they are.
Some of us have some really, but like we were saying, you know, I'm one of those people that probably does have to be yelled at by my spirit guides to actually learn. Or like what? Actually, like they probably yep. like smack me in the face with whatever yes. lesson I'm trying, because they know I'm so stubborn and hard headed that's the only way I'm going to learn.
I remember one time I did something really stupid, really, really stupid. I had it got really egotistical. And so every night on clockwork, I would meditate, right? And Black Elk, he was my spirit guide. He came and he got me and he wasn't talking. I'm like, oh, hell, I'm in trouble now, right? And so, I mean, we went and there was a powwow or whatever. You know, all the elders are there. I mean, Mother Earth, Red Cloud, you know, Sitting Bull, they were there, right? And boy, did they give me an ass chewing. Oh my God. It was like, wow, this was insane. But so we only got about 6 more minutes. So what is your ultimate favorite Disney show, film?
Ooh,
the number one ultimate.
Man.
See, you remind me of Elsa.
Really? I think we can all relate to characters in all those movies and all superhero movies for that mm-hmm. matter. And that's what I was going to say about when we learn a lesson from something really bad that we've done and we transmute that. That's what alchemy is. That's transmuting the energy from something that was nothing or something that was negative to positive in an almost otherworldly or magical way. And so I think I can relate that to, you know, when somebody pays it forward, if you're in the line at the coffee shop and somebody in front of you pays and then it goes back to the one behind them and behind, you know, I mean,
right.
It's paying it forward in life. It's paying it forward through generations. And mm-hmm. I think when I see my children or my nieces or my niece's children watching Disney movies, that reminds me of the why I do things.
Right.
Because as I've seen one specific niece of mine that recently got married, there's so many things in her life that I see her good and bad that I've seen her relive on the exact timeline that I was.
Right.
And if nothing changes, then nothing changes. Mm-hmm. So you've got to pay it forward. You've got to, if you're just given these gifts, it's like Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids get a toy and they play with it and then it gets thrown in the back yep. of their closet for the next 6 months. They forget about it. They play with it for 2 weeks because it's something new and shiny. Mm-hmm. But if you are given a memory, if you are given time, you know, a lot of, I always say, ask the grandparents and stuff to give my kids and my family for Christmas, like a zoo membership, because that's a memory. That's something right. that can't be duplicated. It can't be replaced. It creates an energy that's positive. Mm-hmm. And a learning experience that they'll keep with them forever. And so those are the things that are important. And I think that's what a lot of those Disney movies portray, you know, because mm-hmm. that's more important than toys or material things or really anything in life. You know,
Trisha, you're a good person, man. You got a good heart. You really
I haven't
do.
Always been.
No, that's the same here. But you didn't answer my question. What was your favorite Disney show?
I don't know. Probably Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
And I love that so much to this day, you know, her gaining her legs and her voice. She gained her voice, you know.
Mine was Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
I love that, especially the spaghetti scene. You know,
I never cried more than Bambi.
Oh man.
I've got my little, I mean, it's, well, it looks like Bambi, my little reindeer.
Yeah, it does look like Bambi.
Oh man. But that's because, you know, I attract so many deer now and stuff and so many, I'm so much closer to nature and animals and stuff that, that's probably why that one gets me.
Buck in the chat said Fox and the Hound was his.
Oh, that was a good one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know one that that really well two actually. Speaking of a mouse, and maybe that's relevant because we were talking about that. Fievel Goes West was one of the first movies I ever saw in a theater, as mm-hmm. well as All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh man, that cried.
Those were Disney movies, but those were I remember those.
Yeah.
So.
What are you going to do for Christmas? What is your, we got about 2 minutes. So what are you going to do for Christmas this year?
I have not planned Christmas this year. I don't know. I try to live by the day, you know.
Merry Christmas.
Every day is Christmas to me since I died a few times. I realized.
Oh, that, yeah. You know, yeah. One day we've got to have a show on that one, you know, because I did too. But listen, everybody, thank you for listening and tuning in to me and Trish. Next week, I'll have another guest, and maybe. And you can listen to me and Trish with Jenny and Jason on Chasing Prophecy, 9 o'clock Eastern to 11. And then my show comes on after that. So everybody, like I told you at the beginning of the show, give somebody a call. You know, they will listen. So, good night.
Good night.
All right, Joe. Good night, Joe. This is the fun part, because he's probably playing with a little dog or something like that, you know what I mean? But
just waiting for him. Oh, and I'm doing my I'm doing that investigation next week, so that's exciting. I'm gonna have it on my my vlog.
You're gonna have to talk about that on Chasing Prophecy.
That's one of the most haunted places in Kansas. Actually, there's been so many. It was also supposed to be one of the seven gateways to hell, and
really?
So demonic, and I'm excited about
it. To me, being in the business for so long, right? That it's demonic. To me, people say it's demonic because it is portrayed through a show or a movie or whatever. But
right.
From my experience, 99.5% of the time it isn't demonic. It's just a pissed off ghost that wants to cause some trouble. Because you think about it, right?
Or maybe nobody ever stopped to listen to them because
a lot of them do.
I used to, when I worked on this, I worked at a bunch of call centers when I was younger and things like that. And then took all these conflict mediator courses and stuff. And they would use me as the one, as the final person that, some pissed off customer would call and go through all these people. And they'd be like, okay, Trish. And I would talk to them and start talking about their kids or something, or just listen to them, listen to the root of their problem. And then they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine, and a lot of times that's the same thing with spirits or even demons. Like I said, you got to tame those too. That's why people get scared when witches work with demons. Well,
yeah,
you can work with anything. You can work with any, you can, people work with lions and tigers and bears. So
now see, when it comes down to the demons, right? And God bless them, demonologists, right? Demonology, right?
Yeah.
To me, when people go to an investigation as a demonologist, I have nothing against them. I respect what they do.
Absolutely.
I respect what they do. But I found out there's like close to 3,000 different types of demons, right? So what demon are you working with?
Right. Well,
I mean, there's certain ways,
There are people who will specifically work with specific demons for, various
reasons
and such, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's, I don't think it, just like, like the call center analogy, it doesn't matter to me who's on the other end of the phone,
right.
when I communicate with spirits, it's getting to the root of the problem and finding common ground and, what's the original issue? What are they so upset about? Why are they stuck here? What's blocking them? Whether it be a demon or a spirit or an alien or whatever it is, a human, mm-hmm. animal, if you figure out the root of the problem, then usually everybody gets along,
Right. Exactly. But that little red X, I'm going to leave the studio, honey. I'm tired.
Me too. I was waiting for, I don't know where he
I don't know where he went.